For the Christian life, prayer is vital. And today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe outlines what Jesus taught about the way we're meant to pray.
Can I tell you that it's not just you imposing your will upon God? As you pray, God starts to impress upon you and change you in prayer so that your desires start to match the heart and the desires of God, and His will and your will match up together, and you find your prayers being answered.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe, President of Moody Bible Institute and also Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd, and today we're continuing a fundamental lesson about the rhythm and habit of prayer. Mark is outlining some key points observed in the famous prayer that Jesus shared, often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. If you missed part one of our lesson, I highly recommend catching up as soon as you can by going to our website, boldstepsradio.org. That way, you'll get to dig into our first 4 points of our lesson, where Mark explained how we're meant to pray for the right position, priorities, provision, and people. Now, let's join Mark as he continues this lesson titled, The Habit of Prayer.
Number 5, you pray for protection. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. You start to pray, God, you know that I struggle with this in my life. I pray that you give me the power to overcome this temptation. God, do not let me be deceived into falling into this temptation or this habit, God. I pray that you shield me from the attacks of the enemy, God. You know, there's a real enemy that seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. And so you pray protection, oh God, guard me, protect my mind, my heart, my spirit. I pray that I would see the deception. I pray that I would be able to walk away from it. God, I pray that I would not be lured into what the enemy is trying to kill, steal, or destroy in my life. Protect me, God, guard me. Cause me to walk through temptation without giving into temptation. Protect my heart and my desires, God. So you're asking that you would be able to walk in this world and not cave into temptation. And then lastly, this is not found in all of the translations of the Bible because some of the oldest manuscripts don't always have this phrase, but I believe that praise is always becoming. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And you end some time praising God because he's heard your prayers, thanking God that he's answered your prayers, thanking God that you have access to the Father. Now, it takes you about 10 to 15 seconds to say the Lord's Prayer. It may take you 20 minutes to pray through the Lord's Prayer. Do you see the difference? You're not repeating a prayer that you've memorized. You're praying a pattern of prayer before the Father. Well, why is this so important? Because Jesus taught us to pray this way. This is the pattern that Jesus taught us to pray. These are the things that Jesus says. This is important when you pray, that you have the right position, that you pray the kingdom of God, that you pray for provision, that you pray for protection, that you clean up the relational elements in your life, and that you end with praise. Now, that's the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. Number 2 is the attitude of the Lord's Prayer. So, he not only gives us a pattern, now he tells us the attitude in which we are to engage in prayer. Notice what he says in verse 5. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door's already locked. My children are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. Jesus then starts to describe the kind of attitude that we are to engage in when we pray. And he uses a story. Let me fast forward it to our modern world. You've decided, I'm going to bed. You finally have found your comfort. Your kids are finally asleep. You found your right position. You've shifted back and forth. Some of you take a long time to find your exact position you want to sleep in. Finally, it's quiet. You have your sound machine on. Everything's locked up. You check the doors, and you're starting to doze off into sleep, and then you hear this. And you wake up. Your wife says, did you hear that? I think someone's down there. What time is it? It's midnight. You get out of bed, and you say, let me check through the window to see who's there. And you say, someone's there. Who could be calling us at midnight? This is crazy. I don't know who that is. I can't recognize that person. And they are sure persistent. And you go downstairs, you open up your door, and there he is, your neighbor. Your hair's a little messy, you're a little groggy. You look at your neighbor and you say, bro, do you know what time it is? You know, you say bro when, you know, you're aggravated. And he says, I'm really sorry to bother you. Yeah? Is there an emergency? Well, you see, I had some people that came in from out of town. I don't have any groceries here. And I just needed to borrow some food from you. And you're like, are you serious? My kids are in bed. It's this late at night. Check the IHOPs or the Denny's. They're open 24 hours. What are you doing coming to me at this time of the night? And he says, I just really don't want to bother you, but I can't let these people go hungry tonight. I'm sorry you're asleep. Yeah, it's midnight. Of course I'm asleep. My kids are asleep. And you say, okay, I'm up already. And you go to your kitchen and you grab some food and you take it to them. And this is what Jesus says. Because of the audacity to interrupt you, to bother you, to have the boldness to come and ask you for that, this person, this neighbor who may not be your friend or may not be happy about it, but because your audacity, he will answer your request. Now listen, you say, well, Pastor, is that the way it is with God? Are we interrupting him, bothering him? No. He's not saying that he's the unfriendly neighbor. He's simply saying that God responds to audacity in prayer. That when you come before God and you say, God, I'm coming to you because you're my answer to prayer. I'm asking boldly, Lord, that you would answer this prayer. I could go to other people, I could try other things, but you are the one that I'm coming to you. And I'm boldly coming to you in Jesus' name because you are the one that I believe can answer this prayer, because you are the one that has the answers. God, I'm coming to you and I'm boldly asking without shame in Jesus' name that you would answer this prayer. The Bible says that God responds to that kind of bold, shameless audacity. Now, there is other places in Scripture that he teaches us that. Do you remember the story later on in the book of Luke? In chapter 18, he tells the story of a widow who is interceding for her son and comes to a unjust judge, and she's just persistent. She's just there, and he tries to avoid her, but she shows up, and you're in the office again, and it says, because of her persistence. Can I tell you something? The Lord loves your audacity and persistence. You know why? I talk to people sometimes, and they say, well, I feel like I already asked God for something one time. Should I come again? Of course you come again. You know, when my children were growing up, I would have a child that wanted something, like my daughter. When she was about 3 years old, she asked me for a puppy. She came to me with her big eyes, her little innocent smile, and she said, Daddy, could I have a puppy? I really like puppies. Dad, could I have one? I looked at her, I said, no. No, honey. Daddy, why not? I really like a puppy. I said, honey, because Daddy's going to take care of the puppy. When you're old enough, you can get a puppy. Smart kid. How old? When you're 12. Let me tell you, I thought she would forget about it. I thought she'd outgrow it. She had puppy books. She had puppy diaries. She had puppy posters. Her whole room was puppies. And she was counting down the days to her 12th birthday. And I knew she is persistent and she wants this and she's audacious and she's tenacious and she really, really wants this. And because of her intensity and persistence, guess what she got on her 12th birthday? She got a puppy. When she went off to college, guess who took care of her puppy? When she got married, I said, hey, here's your puppy. No, Dad, now it's your puppy. He's been with you so long. And she turned around and she got herself another puppy and I got stuck with the old puppy for 17 years. That's a whole nother story. I'm not going to even go there. I digress off the point here. The point is that God responds to our persistence, our audacity. God wants to know, how much do you really want this? Is this just a fleeting desire, or is this something that you're pressing in, that you really want, that you're persistent, that you're coming to me? Because God responds to that. He says that, and then he goes on in verse 9, and he explains what he's talking about. In verse 9, he says, so I say to you, after he told this story, ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened to him. He's talking about prayer here. So let me break this down. Jesus, in talking about prayer, is saying, first of all, follow the Lord's pattern, because it's the pattern that he has blessed, and it's the pattern that most reaches the heart of God. Then he says, I want you to do this audaciously. I want you to do this fearlessly. I want you to do this persistently before the Father.
You're listening to Bold Steps with me, Mark Jobe, and we'll continue our message in just a moment.
And remember, you can find all of these daily Bible teachings online anytime by going to our website at boldstepsradio.org.
And by the way, while you're there, do me a favor and let us know you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten so many comments, testimonies, questions from our listeners. We love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
And we read every comment and we respond to some of them on air, not all of them, but some of them on air. So please leave us a message. Let us know what God is doing in your life.
Glad you mentioned that, because I've got a prayer request here from a listener named Michelle in Washington, Illinois. Michelle wrote in to say, thank you for teaching me the Bible in a way that I've never heard before. God led me to your program about 3 years ago and has used your teachings to directly help me by clarifying Jesus' teachings to answer a prayer, to help me understand a difficult Bible passage, or to bring light to my own sins that were hiding in my life. Michelle says, your teachings fit perfectly into my day and my husband's lives right now, as we have recently arrived at a fork in a road when it comes to finally kicking alcohol and gluttony out of our lives for good. We came to Christ about 6 years ago, and we were rid of these sins for a few years after our transformations. But after the COVID years hit, we found ourselves in a new struggle with these old sins. We feel God is telling us it is now or never, so any prayers would also be appreciated. Thank you again.
Hey, Michelle, let me say, first of all, I love your heart that you came to Jesus 6 years ago. A lot of the ministry that I do is first-generation believers.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of people that are coming to Christ and having to let God sanctify some of those old addictions and habits. And you're right, Michelle, it's easy when we first come to Christ to get fervent and passionate and serious. And if we're not careful, let our guard down, and the enemy will look to anything, COVID, a crisis, a discouraging time, to try to lure us back in. So I'm grateful that you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And let me stop and pray for you and your husband.
Good.
Father, I thank you for Michelle and her husband. I thank you that they are saved, that the Spirit of God dwells inside of them. I thank you that their bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so I pray in Jesus' name that that determination not to let alcohol or gluttony or any kind of addiction seep back into their life and start to take away their joy and their dependence on you, God. I pray in Jesus' name that you would give them a spirit of power, love, and self-control, Father. And I pray, God, that as they have victory, that you would use them even more for your honor and your glory. We pray against any kind of spirit of condemnation, and we pray, God, grace and power to overcome these addictions. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mark. If you are listening today and you've got a prayer request or a Bible question for Mark, or if you simply want to share your testimony and tell us how Bold Steps has helped you in your walk with Christ, be sure to reach out and let us know. You can do that by going online to boldstepsradio.org. Or call us and leave your message on a recorded line by dialing 312-329-2011. That's 312-329-2011. And I also want to let you know that everything we're doing here with this radio ministry is made possible in part by the faithful support of our Bold partners who give on a monthly basis to help fuel and expand the ministry of Bold Steps throughout the world. And as this faithful network continues to grow, we want to invite you to be a part of the team. When you do, you'll receive some great incentives, which you can read all about at our website, boldstepsradio.org. All right, now back to the message from Mark Job titled, The Habit of Prayer.
And then he breaks it down and he says, by the way, you need to ask. In James, it says, you have not because you ask not. So there's something about asking, petitioning before the Father. Lord, I am asking you for this. So that's the first level. But then there's another level, and it's the seek level. Ask is petitioning before the Father, verbally asking for something, being persistent, audacious, consistent in asking for something. But then it escalates to the next thing, and the next thing is seeking. Seeking means that you are actively looking for the thing that you have petitioned for, that you are pursuing it, that you are pressing in, that there's an expectation that it is coming, that God is hearing, and that you are pressing in for it. And then knocking means that there are doors that you expect that God is opening, and you are knocking at certain doors, expecting that this is either a closed door or an open door. You say, well, what does that mean practically? Well, let me just bring it down to a practical level. Say someone is praying for a job. They're saying, Lord, I need this job, the right job. Someone says, oh, good. How's the application process going? Application process? Yeah, well, aren't you praying for a job? Yeah, I'm praying. Well, aren't you applying for jobs? No, I'm just praying. Well, how do you expect to get a job? Well, I don't know. I'm just praying. God, give me a job. So some of us kind of think that we pray and someone's going to show up at our door and say, hey, by the way, I just had a feeling that maybe there was someone that lived in this place that was looking for a job. And so I don't know. I was just walking by, thought I'd knock on this door that maybe you're looking for a job. No, you know what? If you ask, then expect that that answer is coming. So you seek. The way you seek is you put in job applications. And you start exploring the options. What option do you have, God? I'm putting applications. I'm seeking. I'm pursuing. It's the concept of pursuing. So I'm putting job. I'm asking that God will lead me. But I'm putting in job applications because I'm pursuing. I have my eyes open to see what God is going to do. And then I am actually knocking at doors. And some doors are closing. And some doors are opening. And as I ask, as I seek, and as I knock, God answers my prayer because he's involved in aligning the process. Some of you didn't get that illustration. All right, let me switch it to another one. All right, so the young lady's praying for a husband. Lord, I want a husband. Lord, you know I need a husband. I want the right husband. And so she prays for that husband. And, you know, she sees a guy at work. She says, that's a good one. Want that one. Her coworker says, you don't even know him. Yeah, but he's cute. He's the kind of guy I want. But, you know, she says, well, he's a jerk, though. Okay, so he's a cute jerk. That you don't want to pray for a cute jerk. So you need to pray specifically, what kind of husband, what kind of man you looking for? Are you clear about it? That's the asking part. Can I tell you something? Some of you, you're not clear enough before God. So that way when you start seeking, you don't even know what you're seeking. So I'm asking for a husband. Yeah, you're asking for a husband, but you're not clear. If you want godly, then pray godly. If you want to have a job, pray that he has a job. You need to get a little more specific. And then you seek. And that means that, you know, you have your eyes open. And can I tell you this? Oh, I digress again. Listen, you need to seek in the right places. You say, well, I want a godly husband that loves Jesus, that's on fire, that loves Jesus more than I. Where are you looking? Well, the bar down the street. That seedy bar down the street where everybody's hooking up is probably not the place to find the kind of guy that you're looking for. And so maybe we need to alter where we're seeking. And if you want a guy that loves Jesus, let's look in some places where there's some Jesus lovers. Hello? I'm just saying. And then there's a knocking at the door. Some doors are going to close and some doors are going to open. And you need to pray that God would guide you through the process. And by the way, in prayer, can I tell you that it's not just you imposing your will upon God? As you pray, God starts to impress upon you and change you in prayer so that your desires start to match the heart and the desires of God, so that when you pray, you find that your desires are matched up more with more God's desires. Because sometimes you come to God in the flesh and God has to start to change your desires so that your desires will be more in line with God's desires and His will and your will match up together and you find your prayers being answered. Amen.
You're listening to Bold Steps, the Bible teaching of Mark Job, and today's lesson is part two of a three-part message titled The Habit of Prayer. You know, Mark, with such an important study, I think it's a good time to maybe review some of the key takeaways we've gotten so far before we head into that final segment next time.
Yeah, so Wayne, this is Jesus' pattern of prayer, and practically every morning I seek to pray through the Lord's Prayer. Position, He's your Father. Priorities, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Provision, give us this day our daily bread. People, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Protection, and lead us not into the place of the enemy or to temptation. And praise, and thine is the kingdom and the glory. And so you can easily follow that pattern in your own prayer life.
Yeah, thank you for this message, Mark. Tomorrow, we're getting into the expectation of prayer and more on the role of the Holy Spirit. That will be a powerful lesson. Make plans to join us tomorrow for the conclusion of our study on the habit of prayer. In the meantime, we encourage you to visit our website, boldstepsradio.org. There you can revisit any earlier program, like yesterday's message, and you can also request your copy of a very timely resource we've just made available. Now, if you're like me, you've probably noticed that our culture is heading in the wrong direction. And if we want to turn it back towards the values and Christian principles it once held, that's going to take some work. So to help you form an effective plan of action, we'd like to send you a book called We Will Not Be Silenced, Responding Courageously to Our Culture's Assault on Christianity. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, the author, shows us how to assert the truth and love of Christ into a culture where lies and outrage run the show. If we want to fix the culture, we need to understand why and how it was broken to begin with. That means as Christians, we have to address the hurts and concerns of non-believers regarding issues like racism, sexism, and poverty. So to help you do that,
and to bring the truth and light of God's Word into these spaces, let us send you a copy of We Will Not Be Silenced. It's yours with a gift of any amount to support the ministry of Bold Steps. Just call us at 1-800-DL-MOODY. That's 1-800-356-6639. Or give and request Dr. Lutzer's book online at boldstepsradio.org. And as always, you can send your gift in the mail and ask for the book. Address your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Well, thanks for joining us. We'll see you back here tomorrow when Mark continues with the third and final part of his message about the habit of prayer. That's coming up Thursday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.